PM, Tuesday, December 17, 2024, I call the Wrangell Assembly to order. Tonight, the Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Vice Mayor Powell.
I pledge allegiance to the
flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Assemblymember Robbins, Morrison.
Here.
Onison.
Here.
Dalrymple.
Here.
Powell.
Here.
DeBort and Mayor Gilbert.
Here. We have no ceremonial matters tonight, so we'll jump to item three, persons to be heard.
You mean to go in now or? No, okay.
No, we're doing manager's report.
Manager's report. Thank you. Tonight, we have Bruce Smith. Would you like to speak now or when the item shows up?
When the item shows up.
Okay, and that item is 11D. Okay. All right. Amendments to the agenda. Hearing none. Conflict of interest, item five. Any assembly member have any conflict? Hearing none. Item six, consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Okay, motion by Morrison to approve consent agenda as submitted, second by Odison. Any discussion? There's three items there. All right, hearing none. Poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers Morrison.
Yes.
Odison.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yeah.
Powell.
Yes.
Mayor Gilbert.
Yes. Item seven, Borough Manager's Report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We've got a quick and efficient meeting planned for you besides an hour-long manager's report tonight. I'd like to start off by welcoming a presentation by Sarah. I woke up on Sunday morning and she's got a new program live that they've been working at the library for 5 years on with the Sentinel, and Larry's here along with Sam. I'd really like to thank everybody that's worked on this. I woke up Sunday and started researching old family members from way back in the day, from the 1940s, 1930s, and it was a real, real cool program. So she's going to tell you what I'm talking about, and we got the projector set up for it.
It's ready now?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll just read a little thing.
Yeah, we'll get you set up.
Perfect, okay. Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me tonight. I'm here to share the exciting news that Wrangell's newspapers from 1898 to the present are now fully accessible online through the Wrangell Newspaper Archive. And I'll also give you a little demonstration here in a minute. This incredible resource brings together more than 6,100 issues in one convenient location, and it provides a powerful tool for researchers, family, and anyone interested in exploring Wrangell's rich history. The archive features the Fort Wrangell News from 1898, the Stikine River Journal from 1898 to 1899, the Alaska Sentinel from 1902 to 1909, and then the Wrangell Sentinel from 1909 to the present. Users can search by keywords, browse, sort, and download issues in PDF format, so anyone can access decades of local stories and information from anywhere in the world. Phase one of this project began in 2019, when the library received an $8,250 grant from the Institute of Museum and Library Services via the WCA. These funds were used to digitize Wrangell's earliest newspapers spanning 1898 through 1956. Valerie Nahadon and Margaret Villarma played a key role in securing the funding and working on the digitization efforts. With the help of the Alaska State Library, the National Digital Newspaper Program, these issues went live on a website called Chronicling America, which is a free national database of historical newspapers in January of 2022. And then phase two began in December of 2022 and was initiated by Larry Persley, who is the current publisher of the Wrangell Sentinel, who secured a $17,000 grant from the Rasmussen Foundation on behalf of the Friends of the Library. Additional support came from the Juno Community Foundation, the Friends of the Library, local organizations, community members, and Larry Persley's own generous contributions totaling nearly $10,000. This project was a monumental effort involving many moving parts, but the results are invaluable. Wrangell's entire newspaper history is now preserved in one accessible location and will be updated annually to include new issues. The database was built and maintained by a company called Andernot Consulting, Inc. out of Vancouver, BC, and it is owned and managed by the Irene Engel Public Library. I'm so proud of what we've accomplished. It's an indispensable resource for anyone interested in Wrangell's history and a testament to what can happen when a community comes together. So now I'm going to give you a short demonstration on the website so you can see firsthand how it works and the wealth of information it provides, and I hope you find it as exciting and vital as we do, and then take the opportunity to explore it when you have your own time.
Great. Okay. I'll let you get set up there, Sarah. Here. And while Sarah's getting set up, I'd just like to echo the thank yous to Sarah and Margaret Villarma, friends of the library, namely the Sentinel for helping fund this and getting us off the ground. And Larry's here tonight. WCA also contributed funding for that as well. So Ed, thank you. And the AK State Library. So a lot of players in this, and it's going to be a real cool tool for us to research from a borough's perspective. There's a lot of times we wonder what happened in 2000 and have to try to find an article hard copy, but this you'll do it in a matter of seconds.
Okay, so I have a couple of easy search terms here that I was just going to, first of all, we'll pull up this one. Let's see how many times library shows up, how many issues library shows up. So this number right here shows you how many issues the word library shows up in, and there are 193 pages over here. So I know that the library was established in this community in the way it is in the year 1921. So if you look over here under the decade, you can search by the decade. So you can go over here and do 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, any of those. Or, like I said, I want to look specifically for 1921, so you can come over here to the year, and we'll select that one, and then, whoops, need a regular mouse, come in, and then hit apply. And you can select as many years as you want. Another thing to show you was right here on this number right here indicates how many issues there are in that decade with the word library in it. So, as you can see right here, the city library was formally opened on Monday night. So then you can come in here and click on the issue. And then Gilmore Girls. And then you can click on it and open up the actual issue, and it will highlight all of the words library.
Cool.
So you can read this issue about the light refreshments given at the formally open library ceremony. So that is super cool. It's really fun to explore that. And then if you want to, you can download and print these, save them to your hard drive, whatever. If you're doing research, looking for obituaries, it's pretty neat.
So Sarah, as I understand it, you could also look up police reports from back in the day, is that right? Anybody want to volunteer their name?
You can look up anything you want. Yes. Thanks, Jason.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I couldn't help.
Anything that was published there, the newspapers were scanned from microfilm, and they are searchable. So as you can see, there's a little preview right here of where that word shows up in each one. And sometimes if it was scanned a little funny, you'll get a word like that, but for the most part, it's pretty accurate. So let's see, what else can we use? If you're looking for something really specific, like somebody's name, you can use regular search terms like quotation marks. If you come over here and go to help, this is a really robust explanation of different techniques to find what you're searching for. But if you're ever having any issues finding something, you can always contact the library and we will help you because this is what we do. But if you want to figure it out on your own, the search or the help page is very helpful. So another really cool article, for example, so if we typed in the fourth queen,
You're going to get every issue. Oh, it came up. Okay, well, you're going to get, oh, okay, sorted by, you can change what it's sorted by. That's what I was going to do next. So you can sort by title, newest, oldest, and relevance. It's defaulted to relevance, which was recommended. You also have three different views. You can do gallery view, which will show you just the preview. You can just do a list view. Oops, no, we were in the list view. Sorry. Table view, which will show you. It looks like that. I prefer the list view because you get a preview and then also the little blurb on the side. So let's see. So let's put in some quotation marks. I'm sure most of you are familiar with search engines mm-hmm. and searching things, but this is just an example. So this will give you every single issue without the quotations that have fourth and queen in it. So if you want just like fourth queen, then you'll put quotation marks around it. And then we can sort it by oldest to newest. And then we have 1950, which just so happens to be the very first queen contest that ever that they ever did. So this was a dance to mark the opening of the fourth queen contest, and this little article talks about that. And so what that means is that this next 4th of July will be the 75th anniversary of the queen contest in Wrangell.
Oh, yeah.
So how cool is that? Anyways, that's just a little preview of what you can do with this website, and I hope that you guys get in there and play around with it. Kim passed out a little card that has a QR code on it. You can search from your phone, and you can search from a web browser and on a computer, and it's a pretty powerful search engine, so help you have fun with it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the hard work, Sarah, and all the friends of the library, again, the WCA and the Sentinel,
for their contributions.
I was when I woke up and this program went live, I started looking up at family members, and my dad got second place in the 100-yard dash back in the day, and I said, what the heck was that, second place? So, and pretty fun. Okay, well, we're going to go pivot over. It's been a really busy month since we last came into the chambers. Been traveling a bit for the last few weeks. I'm going to give you a bit of a recap on the Washington, D.C. Visit. There's a lot of different lobbying meetings we had in D.C., as well as the coveted tree ceremony that we and WCA were there for. Really great. So tree ceremony, just want to say shout out to Wrangell Cooperative Association. They did an awesome job. Pretty emotional actually being there and having Wrangell at the forefront of the west lawn of the Capitol. That was really neat. And Senator Murkowski did a good job highlighting her hometown, and I thought it was a real special event. So thank you to everybody involved on that. We met with the Coast Guard on Tuesday, and we talked a lot about conducting a home port analysis here in Wrangell. That's part of their process, and analyzing which places or which municipalities might be a good fit for them and some of their assets. And so we got finally found the two folks in charge of conducting that analysis, and we've asked Wrangell be in their analysis and the report given to us. One thing's for sure, we're going to have a greater presence in Wrangell. That's what we want, and we're going to take advantage of more training opportunities, so we should see a higher presence to them in the summertime. We do take advantage of some of those training opportunities like mass casualty and maritime rescue, so we're going to continue to do that. Other themes in that meeting, mass consolidation of fleets. You're going to see, I think Petersburg might lose their buoy tender, but maybe don't say that. I guess I did. Ketchikan and Sitka, you know, they have a lot of operations in those two locations as well as Juneau. So you're probably going to see some of the assets shift around here in Southeast in a more consolidated fashion. Icebreaker in Juneau that's scheduled to be there, that's going to be going through a retrofit. That's that one that they bought from the private sector, and then they're continuing to build another icebreaker, which is severely delayed. Our goal out of all this is to get the home port analysis done and get a small boat station here. That would be a good fit for our community. We have lots of property, strategic asset storage was mentioned as well. So we're going to keep our Coast Guard friends on the phone and keep their presence high here in Wrangell and take advantage of training opportunities. We also met with representatives from EDA to discuss the cold storage. We entered into a grant agreement for the cold storage back in 2006. That expires in May of 2026. What we are looking for is to amend the permissible use section of that grant agreement to include a potential data center, as well as to lease to another tenant. So both those require sign off at the national office. They really liked the idea. That letter is actually in front of you that I submitted to the national office. You can kind of see what my pitch was. And the regional office is passed that on to the national office. So feel really good about that development. We're continuing discussions on data centers and hope to have something to report here in the new year. We also met with USDA on our water treatment plant, thanking them for their contribution. It's really a flagship project in the state of Alaska. It was really highlighted at AML, just based off the nature and complexity of all the funding instruments, but it's a real thing to be proud of. USDA is a big sponsor, obviously, in that, a big funder in that. And we're looking at other community facilities applications, and so we talked with them about that. Senator Murkowski's meeting was the most impactful. I think we were there for about 90 minutes, and I think she missed the other two meetings on the back end, but she gave us a generous amount of time, provided her a general update, economic development things, housing, a lot of different updates across the borough. And then we talked about our existing CDS requests. Again, we got the public safety building for $2.438 million. We have the East Channel Emergency Access Road for $2.5 million, and then we got the wastewater treatment plant for $10 million. So those, as of now, are looking like they're going to go into a short-term CR, continuing resolution, and hopefully we'll see that finalized in February or March, consistent with last year's timeline. So we're in the process, Amber and I, and developing our FY26 CDS request, congressionally directed spending. And the top of the list will be the dredging for the Wrangell Harbor Basin project, so we can get an appropriation for that work, the water flume up on the reservoir, and then the mill property development, so utilities and bulkhead. So those are kind of our pursuits, and some of these things will be targeted at the state legislature as well and the governor's office. So really great conversation on existing projects, upcoming projects. And then a big hallmark of the meeting was the OSHA emergency response standards that we lobbied for. So Chief Buness went to D.C. with me, and I think we're going to hire him as our federal lobbyist because he did such a fantastic job. This wasn't something that was on the Murkowski's team's radar, so I think it was really impactful that he did deliver the impact of the volunteer department here and what that would be if those emergency response standards became rule. And an estimated initial impact was about $3 million for the first year, and an additional $300,000 thereafter on top of our existing budget, which I think is about $423,000 this year.
For the public, just give them a quick rundown of what the new OSHA regulations would mean to
Yeah, there's a lot of factors in the existing proposed standard. So when they propose a standard and then Congress confirms it to be a rule, essentially we have to come into compliance. It's a regulatory compliance matter. So things like getting medical certificates for each of your volunteer firefighter staff, which are very expensive, between $8,500 and $10,000, having 140 hours of training on the books for each of these people, having a fleet that's up to new standards, so you know most of our fleet would not be within the useful life prescribed by this final rule, having a separate room for turnout gear to be in, so emissions leaching off the fleet in the public safety building would be a requirement, just things like that. It's a really comprehensive list. And Chief Buness made the remark that it's not all bad things, it's just having it all at once is not realistic for smaller municipalities. So Senator Murkowski and Senator Sullivan have both suggested to exempt volunteer fire departments or look at a size requirement before pursuing a final rule. So thanks to Chief Buness for knocking it out of the park on that. And then, of course, we recognize Senator Murkowski as our Distinguished Advocate of the Year. The T3 kids were able to produce that plaque for her and honor her in that way. It was very, very special, and she was very grateful. So CDS request for Senator Murkowski will be due February 14th. That's earlier than expected. Last year it was in mid to late March, I believe. And it's a good thing we took the trip when we did, because there's a lot of communities that won't have taken their trip, and that's a pretty quick turnaround. So that's a bit of a recap on D.C. Then we moved over to the Alaska Municipal League. I was in attendance along with Mayor Gilbert and Vice Mayor Powell. The first day was the city manager conference. I brought Patty in, and there was other city managers crying, so I think we're doing pretty good here in Wrangell. Literally, they were crying. You know, we learned a lot of what other communities are doing, but the message was that Wrangell's on fire. A lot of folks asking questions about what we're doing, how we're getting as much grant money as we have recently, how we're getting projects across the line. Just the overall culture from the outside looks real good here in Wrangell. had a really productive conversation with the Trust Land Office. That's on tonight's agenda, actually. We have an MOU to accomplish three things, joint timber harvest, investment from the private sector into value add and reprocessing of timber, and then three, subdivision development, which is something they tend to do after they harvest a certain area. So our goal is to be logged in the spring back here in Wrangell, and I'll go through that item a little bit more robustly when we get down to it on the agenda. Probably one of the more exciting things on tonight's manager's report is so the assembly members have the Alaska Airlines flight connections list in front of you. We passed a resolution last assembly meeting, and we lobbied with Alaska Airlines to heighten the connectivity for southbound passengers out of Wrangell. Right now, we have 16 eligible connections off of Flight 64 when we get to Seattle. Most of us have to stay in a hotel, which costs a couple hundred bucks for you, and if you're in a larger party, a couple hundred bucks a couple times, and then you make your connection the next morning. What Alaska Airlines has agreed to do is throw on January 4th, which is really close to coming to fruition, Flight 176, and that will allow for 76 connections total. That'll restore the Juno flight that you guys remember from 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So you'll be able to get into Seattle at 5 o'clock, and we will have increased our connectivity from 16 to 76 locations, which really helps our residents in terms of travel for Central Medical or just a nice vacation. You can go spend it in Hawaii instead of at SeaTac, and that's what we all want to do, right? So I thank the assembly and staff for getting that resolution through, and the advocacy. Really appreciate our partnership with Alaska Airlines. They've done a lot. I mentioned to them when we met them that time that they sent our wrestlers to state when they missed their, mm-hmm. When the flight got canceled. They do a lot for this community. We know the ticket fares are expensive, but we're doing our part to try to make things reasonable. And one of those measures is the Essential Airways Service that we'll be discussing later tonight. So,
and 64 still leaves Anchorage at around 11.
Yep, it's just that I can't remember what term they use, but essentially the matrix of the milk run is inherently complex, and to move it any earlier would not work. So that was the best compromise, and I really appreciate them coming to the table and making something happen for our community. We had a lot of tax policy discussions, a lot of housing, federal regulation. I got a lot of notes to share with the assembly, if I haven't already. Maybe under assembly business, Vice Mayor Powell and Mayor Gilbert have a little bit more commentary on AML. I'll pivot back here to home. Really appreciate Public Works and the snow removal. I know we got hit with our first dose of snow while I was gone. And, we're going to publish kind of maybe a one pager on just so people can see what our process is. They do a great job. We have limited staff out there right now. We have three people total, I think.
About to be two people
to do all the same work that the DOT essentially has in front of them with less operators. So appreciate all that they're doing. We might get a little dose of that tonight by the looks of it. So just be aware of any PSAs that relate to snow. Would like to talk a bit about the industrial lots. That was a big success, our industrial lot sale. Kim sent out an email earlier this week on some of the lots that sold. 5 out of the 8 of the lots sold, 2 of them sold for a pretty hefty premium, which says that our listing price was probably a good spot to be. We have 3 lots left over. As of now, those have already been posted for 30 days. Is that right? And, we're looking in really good shape. So I'd say thank you to Amber for getting that project done. I think Light and Power, they're knocking poles out today, setting poles for, so many people saw that. And invite anybody that's interested in an industrial lot to look at lot 9, 11, and 12 up in 5th and 6th Avenue area. So thanks to all those involved. I think we're in a good spot. Tomorrow we have a work session at 5:30 with Mr. Bjorkford and his partner Dan. That's Bjorkford Bioenergy. Have an interest in the mill property, among other things. So I invite all the boards and commissions, the assembly, and any other community members that are interested in potential mill property development and other economic development opportunities to listen to that presentation. Really excited to welcome them here to town. On Friday, we have the Borough Annual Holiday Celebration. We'll be recognizing several employees for outstanding contributions this last year. We also have several external awards that were awarded to Wrangell employees or the borough. And I'm actually going to say some of those tonight. One of the coolest parts of going to AML was witnessing our clerk get Clerk of the Year. I know she's cringing. I know that Mayor Gilbert, Vice Mayor Powell were there with me. It was a really special honor to see Kim and all the great things that she does for the city. But beyond that, as part of her professional association, and really proud of Kim. She's been a pillar for City Hall and beyond, and I'm not going to say any more because we'll get emotional like you did earlier. So
during the award ceremony.
And I'd like to recognize Jeffrey Davidson for being Wastewater Operator of the Year. That's pretty incredible. You don't function as a city without your operators, and to be recognized as the Operator of the Year is a very significant thing. So thank you for Jeffrey's quickly become a leader among the Public Works Department. I know Tom would say the same. So always there, whether it's wastewater or beyond, he's willing to lend a hand. So thank you, Jeff. Wrangell Parks and Rec was awarded Facility of the Year at the ARPA conference this year, probably because we just let Lucy run wild and buy everything she wanted through last year. with grant funds. So I thank all the staff at Parks and Recreation for their tireless effort this year. A lot of cool projects out of Parks and Rec and new offerings. And then our finance department got a budget award. Only 4 Alaska communities received the Budget Excellence Award from GFOA this year. And we were by far the smallest city to do that, so that's this budget. It's really exciting. There were some other ones too, but that's part of it. I have a year in review, and this is something I want to get in the habit of at the end of each, the last assembly meeting of each year. Patty asked me to do it. I'm going to briefly go over it, but before I kind of share, I just want to thank the staff and the organization as a whole for all their effort this year. These aren't the city manager's accomplishments. This is a list of team accomplishments, and we're really, really proud of it. It's been, I think, the most productive year in recent years.
Before you do that, yeah. I'd like you to mention Kate Thomas and her speech.
Yes. It's actually in the year accomplishments. But
okay.
But
yeah. And then also that you are on the board for AMLIP.
Yeah, well, I'll just do that now then.
Yeah.
I'd really like to recognize Kate Thomas. I sent an email out to our staff and some of our directors. Hi, Bill. And she had the privilege of attending Thriving Communities Program conference in Washington, D.C. She presented in what looked like in front of about 300 different people and a huge hall in front of all of DOT staff, other program leaders, and she just knocked it out of the park. I think she gave a really convincing sales pitch for Wrangell on top of that. And I'm just really proud of Kate for doing that. That's a lot. That's a big, heavy lift. And I know that Thriving Communities, she pressed to make that a valuable opportunity. It wasn't that it just inherently was. She made the most of it, and Carol Rushmore helped us get that, so thanks to Carol. But really proud of that. I'll send a link to the assembly, and well, maybe we'll post it on our website too. thank you, Kate. And yes, I do sit on the Alaska Municipal League investment pool. Right now we have assets under management of over $700 million for all Alaska municipalities. The school district, ourselves are a part of that. About $28 million in investment income was generated out of the pool this year. Significant contributions towards capital for each of our municipalities. So thank you for that shout out, Patty. I'm going to breeze through these because it's a long list, and I'm in jeopardy of going too long here as under the manager's report. But first one on the list, $52.3 million secured or nearly secured through a variety of programs, $25 million for the Wrangell Harbor, $5 million for the dam safety improvements to the state and the governor's office. Thank you, Dunleavy. $6.4 million for the Wrangell School Major Maintenance Grant, $10 million for the wastewater treatment plant, $2.5 million for the East Channel Emergency Access Road, $2.438 million for the public safety building, $694,000 for the middle school roof replacement, $88,000 for the community addressing project, $75,000 for the cybersecurity plan assessment mitigation, and a little $9,277 for emergency operations plan that is almost done thanks to Senator Stedman. We also just got a $75,000 relief and principal forgiveness on our wastewater treatment loan that we applied for planning activities related to the water treatment plant. So money's still coming in, and this is a large credit. This, I think, is our staff's biggest accomplishment, just the sheer volume of funding we're able to bring in for this community of for assets that we otherwise couldn't afford. So I hope, I know we really appreciate it. I hope the community members understand what this really means and really proud of it. Water treatment plants, like our flagship project this year, estimated completion in March and commissioning to take place subsequent, but seven different funding instruments, super important priority. We will have the cleanest drinking water in Southeast Alaska, state-of-the-art plant, and it will be efficiently and abundantly produced, about 3x of what we have currently. So really great thank you to Tom and the Public Works Department, Andrew Scambler, for balancing a lot at one time, an old plant, a new plant, and among other things. So that's a huge accomplishment. We performed rate analysis for all our enterprise funds. We completed the FY23 audit on time and with no single audit findings for the first time in I don't know how many years. Again, we got the Distinguished Budget Award this year. We adopted a conservative FY25 budget, which I think is our best product yet, really user-friendly. We ensure the continued investment of all our reserve funds and maximize returns in accordance with our investment policy. Quick back in a napkin, about $3.5 million in investment returns this last year, of which 3 years ago we weren't doing anything. That's very significant in what that means for capital investment. We negotiated what I think is a really, really great collective bargaining agreement compared to a lot of other municipalities, especially in Southeast. Thank you to Kim and Patty and Dave for serving on that and negotiating committee with me. And all that to say, I think our relationship with IBW has been the best it's ever been. And so we really appreciate all our employees as part of an IBW, and we appreciate their leadership team. We've hosted department and director meetings weekly. Obviously, the last few weeks, not so much, but it's been really great. We aligned a lot of our shared goals and initiatives through those conversations. Improved level of maintenance performed across the organization. Some examples: Harbor Department took the initiative of replacing their own roof this year. They did some of the work on the gridiron. They cleaned up the inner harbor. Many of you guys remember when, I can't remember the name, but and I won't say it anyway, but that mess in the inner harbor that took place back in last winter. The pool siding replacement, city park pavilion improvements, buildings painted, etc. Just a lot of visible improvements and maintenance. Thank Lucy Robinson, who's headed up our facilities maintenance department. We packaged and just received approval for $3 million in public safety building bonds, general obligation bonds, and we're going to continue to pursue that through the USDA. Already apply. Application, those general obligations bonds will be issued through an agency rather than AMBA, Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority. And then we also have continued to invest our $3.5 million in school GO bonds. We have over $300,000 in additional interest that we've received off those since we've issued. So that's great use in holding. We've procured light-up crosswalks and stop signs for the school zones. Those are set to be installed here in the near future. The speed limit signs were a really big hit across town, so those got up as well. We navigated some issues with the union this year that turned out in our favor. That was a great accomplishment. And some of the projects we completed, and I think if Amber's on the line, if she's not asleep on the line, pool siding replacement, city park fire pit replacement, and pavilion revamp, road to beach stairs, the pool HVAC and DDC upgrades, high school, middle school fire alarm, downtown bathrooms procured and installed and maintained, Aldertop subdivision being developed and set for sale this spring, 5th and 6th Avenue road project done, sold, North 1st Avenue deconstruction and recap, high school elevator replacement project is bidded out and ongoing. We'll see that project done this summer. Airport emergency generator project done. Heritage Harbor boat launch apron replacement done. Solid waste transfer station project. I don't know if who's been out to the dump, but that's been recently done. Looks really great out there. Thank you to our contract enterprises. Of course, the water treatment plant, the Port Harbor security systems, the AMI implementation. So we don't have meter readers anymore. It's all electronic. Big cost savings for the borough. Redirect that labor towards a more meaningful change. The Mountain Dewey Trail expansion, $1 million trail, grant funded. Myers Truck float procurement done. Harbor Anodes project at the Marine Service Center, the T-Dock, and Heritage Harbor. And then we've completed part one of environmental assessment for the mill property. Need to go back and do a little bit more work, but that's not all. That's just that's pretty impressive for a year's time. And I thank Amber and her staff for a lot of the work that she's done. Part of all those projects. Moving on, Water shortage management plan was revised this year. I worked with Tom and Andrew Scamber on that. We did have some situations where we looked at that, and that was a good guide. Insurance premium credits we achieved through safety trainings and completion of human resource trainings. We redrafted the employee handbook, and I shouldn't say we, Kate did, because she's got an eye for it. It was a mess before, and it's a useful product now. We established the local emergency planning committee again, so we had our first meeting back in September. We'll have our second meeting this Thursday. We may reschedule just with how busy this week is. It's January, but I'll keep folks posted. But that's been an effective tool to drive some change and evaluate where we are, where we want to be in the coming years. I think we've improved our partnerships with the Wrangell Public Schools, the Wrangell Cooperative Association are here tonight, right on WCA, Sea Alaska, Clinton Haida, U.S. Forest Service, Search, State Alaska DOT, Trident, Sampson AML, and certainly our partnership with Sentinel continues to be really, really valuable. Our emergency operations plan will be done here this winter. Hazard mitigation plan is scheduled to be done mid-2025 on time for renewal. Enhanced relationships with the state and federal delegation. We never took lobbying trips other than I think Steve Persanka went to NACO to lobby for secure rural schools. But the last city manager was probably Bob Pernella, I would think. We'll look at Sarah's tool to know. But those have been very, very effective. We undoubtedly missed opportunities because we didn't do those trips, and I think it's a significant development. We increased our tourism numbers for 2025 and 2026 to bolster our local economy in the short term. We improved communication abilities after post-landslide, and I know that we have direct radios, we have a lot of different handhelds that have been increased, we have new repeaters, so we feel well-equipped to address something in the future. We passed an exemption for $10,000 of assessed value for volunteer fire department employees. That was a big thing from the mayor. I know she wanted that done. Hosted several team building events through summer tailgate annual holiday celebration. We retained Trident Seafoods as their only remaining plant in Southeast Alaska, and that didn't just happen. There was a lot behind the scenes, and I really appreciate our relationship with Trident Seafoods, and we look forward to them growing their operations here in town. I think they have 240 employees coming in summer of 2025, and we look forward to future developments. We advocated for the community effectuated change on the SEPA board. I appreciate Member Persanka and myself for getting taking care of business for Wrangell on the SEPA board. This next year it'll be Mayor Gilbert and I. A lot of cool things happening with SEPA, solar in Wrangell is a big topic that we will continue to drive home. We can continue to improve and modernize the municipal code. We're still doing that tonight. Interfund loan, conflict of interest, sales tax, investment policies, and zoning. A lot of different examples tonight. We have tax-free day as an example of a code committee contribution that Assemblymember Morrison and Mayor Gilbert are part of. We executed the first round of foreclosures since 2018, which is crazy that it took that long. But now we're taking care of delinquent property taxes for the first time since 2018. MOUs have been adopted with the borough and WCA and the U.S. Forest Service, respectively. We have the Trust Land Office MOU tonight. It'll be added to that party. We helped offer a child care solution through after-school activity programming at the Parks and Recreation Facility, the library, and the Nolan Center. And that's a real proud accomplishment. So from 2:30 to 5 each day, 3 days of the week, we're able to help supplement the child care issue. That's not all we're going to do, but it's a good first step. And I know that the directors have really done a good job on making that contribution, real fulfilling. We hired 7 leadership positions, a finance director, a fire chief, a police chief, a borough controller, a Nolan Center director, an interim electrical superintendent, and a senior project manager. That's a lot of senior leadership positions in a short period of time, and I couldn't say the culture has ever been better, certainly not in my 4 years here. We hired a real competent hometown borough attorney, we really are looking forward to getting to work with him over the next 4 years is what we signed a contract for, which is really great. Renegotiated our contract for assessment and appraisal services. It's a 3-year contract. I'm going to say it, we got a steal on it. Thanks, Mike Renfro. An appraisal company of Alaska. We did some good things in that contract. We restructured the finance department, facilities, maintenance, and capital projects, and offered retirement incentives to reduce payroll costs, yet sustaining levels of service. That's been an effective tool. As you know, we're pretty strapped in the budget, and we are trying to set ourselves up for the future. That was one of the ways we did it. We maintained a positive working relationship with the Borough Assembly, I think. Maybe Dave's laughing in his head. We improved our Nixle notifications and subscribership. I think we went up 80% post-landslide, continuing to track that. It's on all our agenda statements, the QR code. We executed a monofill PSA recently, me and Tom did, and so we're looking forward to getting the new monofill site hopefully online here in this next new year, closing out the existing monofill. We executed the response, obviously, to the 11-mile Samovia landslide event. We assisted Ketchikan City and Borough with the FEMA disaster process and provided them with an additional ambulance at the South Tongass Fire Station. So we have received a lot of support from other municipalities. We have provided support in kind for them. We appreciate the neighborliness. And we worked with DNR to coordinate weather stations and implementation out there at the 11 miles Samovia Highway landslide site, as well as LIDAR of the entire borough. We hosted and participated in countless community engagement meetings and events. We continue to support the transition of the existing barge service yard to the mill property. We'll have some developments to share with you guys on that in the new year. We constantly are seeking out new economic development opportunities and workforce development opportunities. I was laughing and telling Director Thomas today that we've been to the Pentagon, we've been on flight tours, we have been to the Coast Guard bases, we have been everywhere to seek out high and low opportunities that are going to fit the community at Wrangell and grow in a really meaningful fashion. So that little bullet point is kind of an understatement, but we have done a lot. We procured new vehicles, an F-550, a vac truck, a garbage truck that was grant funded, two police vehicles for a steal. We've shifted things around. We never get rid of anything. We just repurpose it. We have a vehicle replacement plan that will be in our strategic plan. I'm not going to read the up next section unless you guys really want me to, but needless to say, it's been a very, very productive year. I couldn't be prouder of the staff I get to work with and the assembly that makes it all happen. So thank you to the community for your patience and understanding and tracking some of these items, but I look forward to beating 2024 and 2025.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yes. Yeah. And I do want to get into the rhythm of December, going over what we've accomplished for the year, and then goal setting for the next year, calendar year. And was there anything else
from you? I'm going to do it. Well, yes, we're going to close City Hall from December 24th through December 31st. We have some staffing shortages throughout the holiday week. That's pretty normal anyway. We used to do that. We also, for the employees that will continue to work, it's a nice time to be able to catch up on some office cleanup and other outstanding items that we haven't been able to turn our attention to. So,
and it's usually the time where you put things in storage.
Yep.
Files and things of that sort.
Not me, but Kim. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Next then, do we have a capital projects report? We have it in our packet assembly, and we have Amber online.
I'm on the line. Would you like for me to give you a brief overview, or would you like to just ask questions about the report?
If the assembly doesn't mind, I think for the public, just a brief overview, please.
Okay, excellent. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Can hear you great, Amber.
Excellent. Okay, thank you for allowing me to join you from a distance. Just reviewing our capital projects, and Nathan touched on a lot of them already, but just to recap, we've got about 33 active projects, all in a variety of planning, permitting, design, and or construction, with a value of about $77 million. That does include the $23 million water treatment plant, which we are about 85% complete on, so we're nearing the end of that. It also includes the $25 million raise grant for our Wrangell Harbor Basin. So two large projects that make up that, but a lot of projects, and they do require about the same amount of work just to get through all of the necessary design permitting and construction efforts. So I'll just highlight some of the more current projects that we're working on. The first one I will highlight is the underground storage tanks for the public safety building in the high school. I earlier reported that DEC gave us an approval for the environmental review that we did after sampling around the tanks that we decommissioned. They did have some concern about some of the report that came back with the contamination that was found. It was a little bit found at both locations. So they have recently, just last week, issued a request for us to do some additional delineation, both vertically and horizontally at both sites, to determine if groundwater has been impacted by that contamination. So we are meeting with DEC and our environmental engineers to determine what that looks like, put together a price for what DEC is asking, and what this will do is it will also have us still holding on the new tanks that need to be replaced. I will report that the public safety building does have a 300-gallon tank that's been installed for emergencies for the backup generator if by chance we do lose power, so that building's not without complete backup there. So we're set there, and the high school also does have a day tank, a smaller day tank inside that they can manage in an emergency situation. But that's where we are with that. Move that forward as expeditiously as we can, but we will have to do some other on-site work at DEC's request. Very heavily, I will report that the non-motorized transportation system, otherwise known as the Mount Dewey Trail extension, is complete. We had a great ribbon-cutting ceremony. It was attended by quite a few community members, borough leaders and staff, our mayor, and the WCA tribal elders and some of their staff. And we're really thankful to them for providing the name of the trail. That's the 6-foot wide trail that starts at the parking lot. The name of that trail, before it turns up into the woods, is called Shakanagahi Trail. And I may have not pronounced that completely correct, but it's very close. And that's the trail that eventually we hope will continue on over to Pentacles Beach. So the Shakanagahi Trail starts at the parking lot. As you turn left, going up the trail, there is a sharp curve to the left. That's what becomes the Mount Dewey Spur Trail. And that continues through the woods up the slope and connects with the existing Mount Dewey Trail. So if you haven't had a chance to go out and walk that trail, please do. It's wonderful. I know the community's been enjoying it, and we're really happy to have that there. It's been about a 10-year planning and design and construction project. So that one is checked off the list. Fifth and Sixth Avenues, Nathan earlier thanked me for getting that project complete, but I must thank Santiago and Mike for doing the heavy lift on that project. We are, I think, complete as of yesterday. I think we may have one stop sign left to do, but those roads are ready to go, and with the sale of the lots, people will have access to those. So we're very thankful to have those done. You do have a not-to-exceed change order and a budget amendment on your agenda later for approval related to this project. And we can talk about it more then if you want, but I think that we are going to see another change order come forward for some additional rock quantities that have been identified. The road has settled since the excavation, and the contractor has put more rock in there than intended due to the settling that's occurred through the construction phase. So we can talk about that more, but that project is done. Water treatment plant, I let you know that that's about 85% complete. We are expecting to have all of the equipment in place by the end of this month. And January 6th, we are starting the commissioning of the new treatment system. We'll have a lot of people in town. The AWC DAF train manufacturer will be in town with their staff and our design team with their multitude of contractors and suppliers, equipment folks. There'll be a lot of folks in here making that happen. All the while, we are communicating with the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation for the transition between the two treatment systems. And there's going to be a lot of back and forth, you know, confirming that the new system as it comes online is producing the water quality as required. So it's a lot of work there and a lot of attention that's going to be put on that project in through January. So very exciting time, but this is a pretty critical time for us. The Myers Chuck Harbor replacement, that float procurement, we had a little delay in getting the contract signed, but we're getting that wrapped up and planning for our pre-fabrication meeting with the manufacturer. In the meantime, we did get our U.S. Army Corps of Engineers permit. It's not complete, but we got the cultural resources survey complete, and they are moving to finalize that permit. Once that's done, then the P&D engineers will be able to finish the design, and we can put the construction phase of that project out to bid. The hope is that the float procurement will be complete, and those floats will arrive in Wrangell on or around May-June of 2025, and then the selected contractor for the construction project in Myers Chuck would receive those floats in Wrangell and relocate them to Myers Chuck for the install. So that project is moving forward. Our public safety building project, Nathan highlighted that a little bit, but we did wrap up the preliminary architectural report. Now that we have that finalized, I'll be focusing on the USDA loan application in January to get that submitted. It's a little bit of a heavy lift, a lot of forms to be filled out for that. But we are moving that forward come January. What else? The wastewater treatment plant, the disinfection upgrades that are required. Tom may have reported this already in a report, but as it pertains to capital projects, the sewer department did receive their notice of final issuance of the renewed permit, I think a couple of weeks ago. That permit indicates that the effective date of that new permit is November 1st, 2025. So it is effective about a year from now, which is, it kind of gives us some breathing room because the permit requires that we have a facility plan, or what I like to call an alternatives analysis, complete within a year of that effective date. So although it gives us some breathing room, we've all agreed within the staff group that we don't want to wait because that just means higher cost likely for our project that we'll have to construct. So we are moving forward. We tried to be proactive in that, and we submitted a preliminary questionnaire to the state revolving loan fund requesting $175,000 that we anticipated such an analysis would require for funding. They have come back initially and said that our project found favor with their program, and they have offered us already a $75,000 forgiveness on that $175,000 loan request. So the next step is to submit a formal loan application to the program. Is that kind of a two-phase loan application? You kind of submit, they review it, make sure it meets their criteria, and then once they do, and they essentially offer you this forgiveness, which they have to us, you can submit your final loan. With that, we should have a loan in place by early 2025, and that will then allow us to move forward and solicit competitively for the engineering firm who would work with us on developing that alternatives analysis. And we will try to make sure we have everything lined out so that they could potentially be our design engineering firm as we move forward with that project. Further than the one-year past effective permit date to have the alternatives analysis, it is 5 years past that date that the new plant has to show that they are producing effluent that meets the new water quality standard. So I think that actually means that by year four, we have to have the plant completed. So there's a lot of work to do on that, and we are waiting to hear from our request through Congress whether or not we have that, and understand then how much more money we need to seek to make that project move forward. Our 9 megawatt to 12 megawatt power generation improvement project, that is moving forward. We finalized the design with EPS, got it down to an effective funding level, and the Municipal Light and Power staff are actually going to be executing that work in-house. So Dwight Yancey is leading that charge, and I'm just in the background when he needs help. So I will try to either have him report or report back to you as they proceed with that work. And then projects that are moving into the construction bidding phase, we've got the Albertop Village Subdivision, our roads and utilities project. We have finalized comments and returned those to the engineering team. They will be working on finalizing that contract. One of our last holdouts on getting that dubbed is understanding whether or not GCI is going to come in and install their infrastructure for that subdivision. You know, our hope is that both AP&T and GCI would want their infrastructure in place to provide their services to the subdivision residents. So just reached out, finally got a contact for GCI, and they're working with the engineers to identify that piece. And would love to see that go out to bid before the end of January. That's what we're shooting for. We did bid out and awarded the electrical transformers a couple of months ago. And just a reminder, those had a lead time of about 32 to 34 weeks. So those should be tracking well with our timeline to get the utilities project out. And then the last one I'll report on at this time, unless you have questions, is the sewer outfall pipe repair project. We have that solicitation complete now, and it's ready for review by the insurance company of the vessel pipe damage, and we'll be moving that forward to Mason's desk so he can work with the insurance company, and then we will release that project for construction bidding. I'll report on a couple more. The dam safety and stabilization improvements, we did get our $5 million grant finally signed with the state and started working with Shannon Wilson, who is our A&E team that developed the dam stabilization alternatives analysis for this project. Through the alternatives analysis work, they completed approximately 35% of the design. And so before you tonight is an amendment to their contract to move their work forward to 100% complete design for that stabilization project, coordinate with DNR, the dam safety office, and all of the permitting that's required for this. So that's before you, and we think that we can move that project forward in pretty short order, meaning within several months for design, and seek to get that constructed, hopefully in about a year, within a year's time. I reported that the McKinnon Street Utilities reconstruction project, which was originally budgeted in our early fiscal year 25 capital budget, that has been canceled, that project. We're now looking at reconstructing Lower St. Michael Street in utilities instead at this time. There is quite a bit of work that's needed for that project. We'll be coming back to the assembly with a budget amendment request for that project. There's quite a bit more involved than what we anticipated for the McKinnon Street, which is currently in the budget, a capital budget. So you'll see more on that project as we further develop that. And that's about all I have to report tonight. If anybody has any questions on anything, I will be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Assembly, do you have any questions? And the change between St. Michael and McKinnon is St. Michael, Lower St. Michael is more in need of restructure and utility repair, correct?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Several variables, but yes, yeah, they're among them.
Yeah. Yeah, St. Michael is the one where we constantly have to repair the water mains.
Mm-hmm.
Several times, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one, the short road that runs between Church Street and Front Street next to Century Hardware.
Correct.
It has water, sewer, and stormwater systems in that road, which all need to be replaced. Along with the road bed itself and the sidewalk. So it's a pretty critical arterial road for our community. It will be a big disruption, so we want to make sure we get this one right and have everything in place as we move forward to do the reconstruction.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
No questions?
Thank you, Amber.
All right. Does that complete our borough manager's report?
No, we actually have, no, I'm kidding.
All right, we're moving on. Borough clerk's report, please.
I don't really have much more to add, except for the city holiday party and tomorrow's work session both have been noticed for possible quorums. Also, yes, as Manager Valarma reported, we did sell 5 of the 8 lots, and 2 of them were sold to one person, the other 3 were sold to separate people. I've been in contact with 3 of them. The 4th one, he has 10 days to get in touch with me. And of course, the day that they closed, the 3 that did not sell, I immediately put those back on for 30 days. So they go for 30-day increments, and we'll see how those go. In addition to my award I received, I was actually elected to the seat of vice president for the Clerks Association for Alaska, which is really exciting, and it's supposed to be a 4-year track, but things happened, and it's a 3-year track for me, so I'll be vice president. Next year, or 2026, I'll be president. 2027, it's outgoing, which is kind of like, you're done. So it's a very busy time, but just a lot of administrative stuff for this upcoming year, and then the following year will be just really a lot. So I'm just going to focus on the here and now, and just thank you to the Assembly for supporting me and that, and the manager and staff for supporting me, so I appreciate it. Other than that, like I said, I don't have anything.
Thank you. And it was wonderful to see you honored by your peers, which means a lot, voted on by your peers to receive Clerk of the Year, Alaska Municipal Clerk of the Year.
But
that meant a lot to all of us who attended.
Me too.
To see you.
It meant a lot to have so many people at the table.
Yes.